Welcome to episode 312 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Jesus, my voice is gone, like Kelly Clarkson. Since you've been gone, I can't believe I'm having words to fly. Now, I did watch a video of someone eating a crow earlier, and then I watched the Ravens play, and I'm like, damn, Rashad Bateman really fucking me over here. I'm an optimistic guy, but yeah, recording this on December 21st, I think, 2024 for the archives. If you guys could, subscribe to the channel. I appreciate the recent growth. Subscribe, follow the channel, do me a favor. Yeah, let's get to it. So, you know, I was having an idea earlier. So I was watching, you know, I've been watching, I enjoy watching sports still. I wouldn't say I have the same relationship with it. And I think, obviously, I think there's a lot of factors of how when you get older, I think just a state of sports in general, it makes it where the urgency to watch and to be involved and to kind of have that obsession in a way, you know, and it could be good because sometimes an obsession with a product, it could be good if it's beneficial to what you desire or you take aspects of it like hard work and stuff like that. It's motivating. Like I used to love like NBA season would motivate me to hop on a fucking treadmill and get in shape. you know, like it's like that summer is like that fall, it's like that fall weather, you know, when people look towards it, there's a type of nostalgia, a feel to it, kind of a aspect of it that kind of resonates with you. But now when I watch sports, whether it's pro sports, college sports, I'm so like, I could care less about who wins, who doesn't. It's more of just a comfort. And I think sports has become comfort food instead of I'm seeking it out. And comfort food is like, hey, you know, if it's in the house, we got it to make, great. But like that thing you really want, you know, the one that's out there for the taking, you know, the man or woman of your dreams, you know, it's you gotta go out there and get it. And it's like, are you gonna drive 10 minutes to pick up what you really want to eat tonight? Or, you know, it's like, eh, I'll find something else to do, you know? And that's what watching sports is like. Sports is really, I would just say, TV and entertainment in general. And I think it correlates because the ratings have dropped, especially in the NBA. There's this big thing about the ratings dropping 53% of some crazy shit. I think it's really just because gambling, it plays a factor where you're kind of very disattached to everything. And the more you are disattached to things, the more that it... Alright, fuck me too. The more you are disattached to a lot of things, it really kind of affects your relationship or your companionship with certain things. And you really, unfortunately, you kind of look at players. There's the lack of relationship. Like, no one's really going out to buy sneakers because of a player anymore. That may be something the young whippersnappers do. So, yeah, like, no one's going out to be like, no 33-year-old guy's like, man, I really need those LeBrons, you know? I really need those Kyries or the Asia Wilsons, you know? That like, if you're past like the age of 24 seeking an NBA player's shoes, I'm gonna say you got a problem. it's always weird, but when there's not that isolation of admiration like we used to have for athletes, because I think the admiration for athletes have kind of deteriorated, where we don't really appreciate the sport, we don't really appreciate the athlete and what they do. It's more about how kind of they relate from a general human sense. Like, there are athletes that people will overdraft in fantasy drafts, that people will bet more, that people will follow more and seek more, be more entertained by, even if they're like, you know, third stringers or guys that can't even make the G League or guys who do some cool YouTube stuff, but then they do a G League tryout and they're getting whooped by some guy you've never heard of before, you know, from Bangladesh. And it was kind of like that. It reminded me in the preseason where Bronny James was getting crossed over by that like 5 foot, you know, 8 Asian dude on the Grizzlies, who's actually pretty damn good. He was getting that work. But there is still this obsession with trying to make Bronny James an NBA player. Like we want it so bad. You know, the storyline is more important than actually what we're watching. And this isn't the point I'm out. But it's a bigger point of how sports has become more of a beauty pageant to where it's a gateway to fandom, to relate to fans more than being so exceptional that the fans come to you. It's almost like now athletes have got to prove that. It's almost like the athlete have got to prove to the fans that they are worthwhile to go see or to seek out or to admire. When how it used to be was younger kids and just people that love the sport. They consumed it, and there were just certain athletes or just certain teams or certain aspects that you have a loyalty that just when you watch, it's like, man, every night when I get home, this player's playing at 7 o'clock, you know. That's how it was with LeBron for me. Anytime that dude was like Cleveland, just being on national TV, you know, getting their ass whooped by the Celtics, you know. But they'd be on TV, and you're like, LeBron, Eric Snow, hey, Antoine Jameson. You know, you're watching these teams, you're like, you know, I'm not a basketball expert, but I feel like, you know, this is kind of a disadvantage. But you don't really know that much until you get older. You're like, wow, this is some real big disadvantages here. But I think the reason why I bring all that up is just watching sports and really this year, I realize I don't really love it like I used to. But there's something about watching it, it kind of makes me feel that youthful energizer, like that motivating aspect of it. Like, because it doesn't even really feel like you're watching like real sport, if that makes sense. Like the whole like rigged and this thing's, you know, it's rigged, it's system, it's planned, and it's so like, I will say it feels so manufactured for TV. Like, it's crazy to think like an actual professional sports game for pro basketball and pro football specifically, they legitimately have official timeouts where literally it's official timeouts so they can go to commercials on the networks and show advertising. Like, there's just something that's like, there's something that makes it kind of have that disconnect. Like, imagine being a player, you're warming up, you're getting in the zone, you know, and it's always like, and this is how it typically works, right? Like in a football game. So if the first team that's on the field, that they have a quick three and out and they're on the field for like a minute and a half or 2 minutes of actual game time, they'll show the next team's possession before they go to ads. And then once both have a possession, they'll go to a commercial break. But if that first team, let's say the Dolphins receive the kickoff and they have a 9 minute drive that takes like 15 minutes of real human time and then 9 minutes of game, like they're going to commercial before even, you know, fucking Drake May touches the ball. You know, it's like, hey, you know, I know you guys have warmed up and you've been waiting to get on the field, but you guys are going to wait another 5 minutes. You know, we got some progressive commercials to show. And I think that's where everything is so ad base. Everything is all about selling something, and it doesn't even really feel like you're watching a sporting event. Like, it's an event, but it's really competition, and competition is supposed to be this event. It's supposed to be this in-tuned, like insulated, like this, like you're in the fight with it. And now it feels so just like sprints of competition. You know, you're really just waiting to like 8 minutes left in the fourth quarter to really like take a game serious. You know, it's all just running around, jacking up shots. It's all just running plays in a football game. you know, a holding penalty here, a big play here, a lot of fucking screen passes that are uneventful, you know. And I think that is why I think the relationship with sports have changed, and that's why a lot of people, they become more interested in the fantasy aspect or gambling. Like, that's why I think gambling has taken over, is because there's been a disattachment for quite a period of time. And now it's like, this is a way for people to still rationalize being involved in something. And if it wasn't for the involvement of winning money or just having that, there's stakes in a game. When there's not stakes of personal attachment to something, you got to have an outside thing, a third party thing, to create that sense of urgency and attachment. And for most people nowadays, the attachment is, unfortunately, gambling of some sort. And it's unfortunately not the pureness of the beauty of why everyone enjoyed playing sports at a young age. So that's just kind of a weird observation I've made in recent, because, you know, I've always think like, you know, I really want, you know, I miss the marathon watching football on Sundays for 8 hours. And then, like, I wake up and, like, you know, I'll catch a Cardinals game at 4 o'clock. I watch like a quarter and a half of it, and then I'm like, eh, I'm good. I'll wait till the 8 o'clock game. And then I'll watch like half of it, the second half of the game, because I'm doing X, Y, and Z. And you realize, like, you know, I enjoy having the option to watch it, but I don't necessarily feel like I gotta watch it. And I think that's a dilemma that a lot of people are following. That's why a lot of viewership ratings, that's why we gotta be convinced. And that's why there's this big thing, like, with the NFL Red Zone, which, you know, some people need a fucking life. I'm sorry. Look, I watch Red Zone legally, wink, wink. And people are going off on the host, Scott Hansen, because he said 7 hours of commercial-free football. And apparently, they ran some ads. And people are fucking pissed. And I'm like, if you were pissed because a network, a public television network, ran ads, you know, but they'll be the ones that go on YouTube and will skip a bunch of ads and, you know, rationalize ads for whatever streaming service they pay for. Like, you can't avoid ads. They're fucking annoying, but it is what it is. And I get it. Like, you're paying for something. And people are like, oh, it's disingenuous. It's integrity. It's like, the dude works for a fucking network. He probably didn't, you know, I think he came out with a statement. He apologized. Like, he had a decision to make. It's like, but how's it really? Hey, guys, I know it's simply ads-free, but, oh, we're going to have a fucking shitload of ads today. Like, that's not going to keep you in. It's like, it was probably like a few ads throughout the whole. It probably wasn't like every 5 minutes they were doing some Corona Light commercial. You know, I'm pretty sure it was pretty, like, tame. You know, and if you get pissed off over some ads, like, you know, need to get over yourself a little bit, you know. Just saying. But that being said, I don't know. It just goes to show that we have become so entitled as consumers. Like, and this is where the customer is always right type of thing that people carry with everything. Is they believe as fans, consumers, buyers and stuff, our tax dollars. And I get it. The stupidest thing is when these NFL franchise, like, hey, you know, we want to build a new stadium for you guys. We know you've been asked for it. It's like, you know, we haven't really been asked for it. We just been asking, can we find some fucking parking, you know? Like, and they're like, nah, you guys want a whole new stadium. It's like, nah, we don't need an $8 billion stadium that we're going to have to pay out of tax dollars. They're like, yeah, you do. Trust us. They're like, no, you could just actually renovate and make a few changes and make the current venue you have a little bit better. We'll be fine. We're here to watch the game, you know. They're like, nah, $10 billion stadium. You're like, all right, cool. And you know, I know where I live, you know, there was a whole thing about really Atlanta fucked over the Braves and how the whole situation happened and why they kind of had to make that move. They really made it for to appeal to a different type of audience. They wanted more of the metro aspect, and that's why a lot of these moves are making. Like, we have the New York Giants, the New York Jets, but neither team is actually in New York. They're in New Jersey, probably for tax purposes. But could you imagine, like, and I'll be honest, I was younger, like, how the fuck do they have a stadium in the middle of New York City? And they're like, not even close, pal. God, I want to take a train somewhere. Train. But yeah, today's drink, back on the C4, because I'm detonating my pants right now. Jolly Rancher Green Apple. SGA. Shane Gillis Alexander. It's almost an automatic hit. But yeah. It's just odd to me. You know, we got... Yeah, kind of like going back. Like, us as consumers, like, we really are entitled fucks when you break it down. We really think that we deserve to set the market prices. We think we deserve to have say on what's proper pay for a player. We really think we have proper say of how tax dollars are used. And, you know, we should to an extent. We should know. But at the same time, do you really want to know everything? I really don't want to have to think about everywhere I go how everything is being properly used. Because I hate to break it, dude. No matter where you go in the world, nothing is being properly used. Nothing is being cleaned the way you think it should be cleaned. Nothing is being prepped with the most sanitary reasons any restaurant you go to. Nothing is going to work out the way you think it is. And that's okay. But this feeling like you like full transparency about everything. And you know what's also weird? I know this is a little bit random. But Blake Lively, you know, she's going off the rails on this guy who directed / acted in a movie they were in like a year or two ago. She's filing some harassment claims, let's just say. I don't know the full details of everything. But this guy is pretty confident in saying, yeah, no, none of this stuff really happened. All the stuff you're saying happened, it didn't happen. So file a lawsuit if you really feel. And he's just like, you know what? I don't even want... Yeah, I remember during the movie, he's like, I don't even want credit for this movie. I'm not going to show premieres here. Promote the movie. I don't want nothing bad to happen. He directed and started the movie. And he's like, you know what? I'm good. Yeah, y'all can have this shit. And, you know, I get it. You know, sometimes people get to a point where there's like, I don't want to deal with the legal shit of this. I'm tired of, you know, they, you know, you work diligently on something. And you have people that somehow want to make it about, you know, make something that didn't happen. And she's saying like, oh, this traumaticness is causing your kids. How the fuck do your 3-year-old kids know about some harassment claims that happened on a movie set that they never went on to? It makes no fucking sense. Like, what are you doing? Going home to your kids and talking about this director, he harassed my looks today. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Who goes home and tells their kids about that shit? And don't say that they're reading this shit. Your kids are not going online reading about a movie that probably made like $3 million in total. They're not doing it. Like, it's like the shit that people will tell you to believe out here just isn't true, you know? God damn, my nose is itching. But yeah. Uh-oh. Yeah. That's what's going on out here. What would be the dream life, you know? Like, if you had to sit down and lay out what your dream jobs would be. Whoa. I know, I say, what would y'all, like, you guys can fucking respond. This ain't a live stream. But I really think about, you know, I think the greatest job or things to do to make money would be, for me personally, stuff that makes you feel an exhilaration. The possibility of, like, you, I think there's something that people thrive off when they don't have a consistent income, or it's a fluctuation of what some can give or get to you. I think that's why a lot of people kind of gravitate to inconsistent paying jobs, you know, jobs where it's commission based, where it's kind of like that high and low, like, man, shit could go really good or it could go really bad, but it makes you kind of be at your best all the time, you know. I would never be a sales guy, you know, I could sell some bullshit to people, but it wouldn't really be my thing per se. But I think that's why a lot of people gravitate to, like, stocks and shit, you know, because there's no, you could project all the shit you want, but it's very inconsistent. It's very based upon, you know, how the market is on a day that you cannot control. Like, unless, you know, you're Nancy Pelosi, you know, fucking up the stocks yourself. You know, you, it's very hard to really be able to project. You know, you could give pretty good projections, but it's not very sustainable. And so for me personally, I feel like gambling is one of those things where it could fuck up people's lives. It could also be a positive to people's lives, you know. I do think, God, fuck. I think gambling can be literally, can make you a better parent. Let me tell you why. It's all about risk and losses. I have it all for a reason. It's all about risk and losses. God damn. This is absolutely atrocious. But, like, so, if you put an over and under, right, you're almost like putting an over under on your kid's immediate future, you know. You go for the big buck, you know, put in a few extra dollars, put them in that nice school, you could put them in whatever type of training, have them learn the tuba or something, the clarinet. The clarinet always seems to be kind of like an elitist instrument. I've never met a poor kid that learned the clarinet. You know, I'm sure it's out there, but you know what I mean by it. I don't think they seek out the clarinet. You know, we seek the, you know, poor people, we seek the cool stuff, you know. We're like, is it a boom or bust, you know? We don't want to take the safe route, you know. We don't want to take the sustainable that proves if you do this, you know, you have a pretty good return. We're like, nah, let me learn the guitar, bro. And you're like, okay. Give me a DJ keypad. Which, by the way, where's Cody Cobain? It is weird how, like, some random scandal just completely, like, makes you disappear. Like, I know he had a kid and stuff, but it is odd that, like, something is, a few things being exposed about you, you're just like, nah, I'm just gonna stop posting. And the thing that makes my livelihood, you know, to an extent, I mean, you have plenty of avenues, but the thing that parlayed to really make, be able to make the income he has, he's just like, nah, I'm good. Like, this internet shit is like, and it's weird, because when you get to, I guess, that level where you have that big of a fan base, it's like the backlash probably feels more real. You know, it's like, you're dealing with, you can't even post a video, you can't make a post, you can't even say nothing without people bringing up some weird shit he may or may not have done, whether it's true or not. I don't know. But it's kind of almost like his absence, is it an admission? Or is his absence more of like, that's not really what happened, but I'm not going to win this fight type of thing. And fighting with the public is never really going to work on your side. It tends to actually work against you a lot of times. But yeah. I don't know. What would I do, you know? Not the manifest. What would I ever do if I had some crazy-ass scandal? Something exposed about me that I forgot about. It was weird. I think the reality is with a lot of these scandals, whether it's like someone being exposed for being a creep 8 years before, or someone, you know, in his case, may have done something with a girl that was technically underage, you know, whatever. Maybe like situations where someone texted someone before they met their current wife, but it's being exposed and the timelines don't match up. I don't know. You know, I'm just giving weird ass examples. It's like, if it's years in the past, you may have genuinely like forgot about it. So when people bring it up, you're like, no, that's not really what happened. You're like, wait, was it? You know? It's like people be trying to expose things before people were famous or before people got to a certain type of level, and they try to bring back shit from 5, 10, 15 years ago, depending on the person's age, how long they've been doing some, as a way to characterize that that's who that person is now. Like, if someone exposed me for something I did when I was 22, right? Like, it's like, I honestly probably wouldn't remember to the full extent of whatever it was, of like how it happened, what happened, what led to that happen. I probably forgot more than I remember at this point. So your first instinct would be like, if you don't remember doing something, is to be like defensive if someone's defaming your character of some sort. It's like, but also the ramifications if you defend yourself and lie about it and you put it out in public on something you monetize and make money off, then someone could sue you for defamation of their character and then make money off of you because it's a video that you can make money off. So it's a cycle of, once you involve anything making money, people will find a way to make money back at you. And that's the dangers of when you start making an income off of something that relies on your truth, your personality, your reputation, is that, you know, if you have a regular job where you work for a company, even if you did something on company time, depending on your value or your connections, you could keep your job and they might be able to, you know, work with you, come with the settlement with whatever the third party is. Like the situation with ABC, George Stephanopoulos, and I think Trump in some sort, is basically defamation of character. ABC and Stephanopoulos had to settle with Trump and his legal team for defamation of his character. But Stephanopoulos still has a job with the company. They just found a way to settle it together, you know? That's the weird part. But like, when you're your own entity, you're kind of on this island. Like, there's no secondary funds coming through for the most part. You know, it's your reputation. If it gets fucked up, you could lose your fan base. You could lose, you know, in some instances, your channel. Or you could lose the thing that makes your income. That's the crazy part. With the no, like, you basically don't have an insurance plan. When you work for a corporation and you make that company money, or you're a steady figure, you're a historical figure where they can't, it's really hard to fire them, or they don't want to fire you. You know, you kind of have that insurance aspect of being protected, you know, as much as a company can protect you if they really want to. And so it's kind of odd, you know, think about it. It's almost like you got to prepare someone coming out trying to expose you about how shitty of a person you are, about things you've said years prior and stuff like that. And you're just like, you know, if I said it at the time, there was probably a reason. I probably meant it when I said it. You know, if you, like, if you're like 23, someone exposes text messages about some mean stuff you said to a person you had a relation with, you know, stuff that, you know, most time, you know, stuff that leads up to that, it doesn't just happen for no reason, you know. Doesn't mean you're right. But at the same time, it's like, you can't be out here defending every little thing. Especially, like, I think once the past certain amount of years, personal issues between people, I don't think it should be suable, if that's the thing. Like, stuff as minuscule as someone, you know, saying, you know, hurtful things to an ex-boyfriend or a girlfriend, it's like, you're going to file a civil suit because someone said you were a piece of shit. Like, all right, you know. Like, it's crazy to think the things that are suable, the things you could go to court for, waste tax people's dollars, waste court dates for, waste, you know, just people's times, wasted money on your end, the people you're suing, legal stuff, for stuff that really doesn't matter, that in a rational mind is literally just looked at as, this is all just to see how technical we can get some money out of this. That's really how, like, a lot of these dumbass suits are for a lot of things. Hey, at a certain point, like, if it's years past and you didn't want to address it then, move, you know, it's not worth going back to it. Now, serious shit, yeah, okay. Gotta understand, you know, fear and stuff like that, but for stuff that really don't matter on a grander scheme of things, like, grab your shit and move on, you know? So, yeah. God damn. Seems like the mucus always wants to come up when you're doing shit, you know? yeah. Big old things, eh? I look like I give out eggnog cookies. Never had an eggnog cookie. Maybe some spiked eggnog cookies. Oh, yeah. Gingy. Are you gay? Now, you know, I think the overall message, really, that maybe we all need to just kind of remind ourselves of, is that, you know, as you get older, a lot of things, you become so desensitized, you become, the reason why you enjoy something can change. You can still like doing things, but the reason why you enjoy it's a lot different. Like, for me, it'd be like, you know, working out. You know, I enjoy working out. I enjoyed working out when I first started before because the feeling of the extremeness of changing your body is kind of this exhilarating feeling, right? Because when you first get into stuff like that, it is a body shock. Like, first time, like, the soreness when you first do squats, soreness when you first, like, work out muscles is so goddamn scary. Like, you really think your body's, like, falling apart. And it's more of just like, you know, you want to get big and strong and all this stuff. As you get older, it's more of just a comfort. It's relaxing. It's routine more than anything. It's something that it keeps you grounded. It keeps you humble. It's not even about getting bigger, stronger all the time. It really is about the aspect of continuously, you know, kind of keeping your knife sharp. It's really like doing Sudoku, you know. Is doing Sudoku every day going to raise your IQ from 120 to 190? Probably not. But it keeps it from dipping to, you know, retardation levels. I don't know if that's a great word, but it is technical. And so that's really what, like, exercising is for. It's not about, the older you get, it's not about, because you want to look like Chris Bumstead. It's not about because you want to have that Arnold body. It's not about that. It really is about kind of maintaining everything you worked hard for, not letting it go to waste. And a lot of this, you know, as you get older, a lot of things are just about not letting things go to waste. Maximizing, you know, whether it's maximizing your time, maximizing things you put time into, and to not let it, you know, falter from your fingertips. And so, you know, I think that's all. Yeah. So, yeah. I think I'm going to end it there. It's a nice, short, sweet to the point podcast. Stuffy. So fucking stuffy. And I'm not talking about Peppa. So, yeah. That was episode 312 of the Offbeat Podcast with Clint Nelson. I'm your host, Clint Nelson. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, subscribe, hit the notification bell. Most important, ladies and gentlemen, don't forget to suck some titties. Yeah. Yeah. God damn, my throat is good, good. Sounds like a bigger scam than any crypto from Hoctui. I don't even think her scam is that bad, you know. I'm not saying there's any good scams, but at the same time, you know, scam is a scam. Scram. But you know what? I feel no empathy towards people that buy scams. Because it's 98% of the time, it's obvious when something's a scam. Something that's a random. Like, how many of these crypto shits do y'all have to realize? To realize that this shit is never going to make you money when it's coming from people who are just getting into it. Because they got a cool tagline. Like, y'all deserve whatever comes to you at that point. I'm sorry. You know, I'm not in the business of being happy that people lose money. But if you're not even thinking twice about where you're putting your money and not indicating the ramification, then I don't give a fuck. That's a you problem. So, yeah. All right. Have a great day, morning, night, evening. Meep, meep.